Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Lamed Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins on Lamed Vov, 10 lines from the top. You'll notice a circled expression, Kimcha Dechiti. The topic heading that we have here is Brocha al Kemachita. What brocha would one make on eating wheat flour? We have a note that's accompanied by a star on the in the margin, and we've noted Bedapim Haboyim on the in the upcoming Dapim of Gemara, Tsuras Igul Yofia Soviv Hamaychol Shelov Kaimadiun Shel Eze Brochim Avorchim. We've decided to simply circle the different food items that are the subject of discussion in the upcoming Dapim. Needless to say, as we've said in the past, regarding our Gemara markings Daf Yomi Shurim, they are designed to present the simple pshat and understanding of the Daf Gemara with emphasis on the structure. We have no intention whatsoever of ruling practical halachic matters, what we call halacha lemaisa. For that, one has to consult with Sforim that deal with these topics and responsible rabbinic authorities. I'm mentioning that now, especially here, because we're going to be getting into the heart of very regular halachic issues, especially when it comes to things like what brocha do you make on different kinds of foods. So with that disclaimer in mind, we continue our Gemara. Kimcha dechiti is kemach is flour, dechiti wheat. Rav Yehuda omer borei pri hu adoma. Rav Nachman omer shehakol nieh bedvoro. Omer le Rava le Rav Nachman. Rava turns to Rav Nachman, who said that the brocha should be shehakol. He said, Rava says, lo tiflo galei de Rav Yehuda. It's not advisable for you to argue with Rav Yehuda. And why not? And we should point out that these few lines are one point that Rava makes, and we've marked that with a long point marking, you can see, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. So Rava says to Rav Nachman, it's not worth arguing with Rav Yehuda's position. The Rav Yochanan Ushmuel Kaimikov say, very great preceding generation authorities hold like him, like Rav Yehuda, that it should be Bori Pri Adoma, the Omer of Yidom HaShmuel, the Chain Omer of Yitzchok, Omer of Yochanan. We've dashed underlined the key names here, Shmuel and Rav Yochanan. They don't address, actually, Kemach Chito directly. They address a different item, namely olive oil. But from that, Rava extrapolates to what they would hold with regard to Kemach of Chita. So what do they say? Shemen zayis mevorchen olav borei pri ha'etz. On olive oil, one makes a brocha of borei pri ha'etz. Alma, we see from this, afalgav the ishtani, even though the substance has changed from its original olive form into oil, b'milsei koi, it retains its original brocha. Originally, in the case of olive oils, olives were borei pri ha'etz. Olive oil, also borei pri ha'etz. Hochanami, so too with kemach of chita. Afagav the ishtani, even though it changed from grain into flour, b'milsei koi, it remains its original brocha, borei pri adoma. In other words, if one were to consume raw grains, he would make borei pri adoma. So too, if one would consume unground grains, he would make borei pri adoma. So too, once it's ground, it's undergone a change, but it retains its original brocha. So now, Rav Nachman responds, Mi domi, hosam, in the case of oil, les le'iluya achrina, there is no improvement possible afterwards. In other words, shemen zayis is a case where the food stuff, going from olive to olive oil, it's reached its final stage of preparation, its maximum level of improvement. So therefore, it gets the, we'll call it the specialized bracha of Borei Pri Ha'etz. When we use the term specialized bracha, this is in contrast to Sheha Kol Niyod Midvara, which is a general bracha. It, in theory, or in potentially, Sheha Kol Niyod Midvara could cover every food item. In the text of the bracha, it doesn't focus on a specific type of food. Borei Pri Ha'etz is more specific, and hence we call it a more specialized bracha. So in the case of oil, it has no further improvement that it can undergo. Therefore, it receives this, we'll call, higher level bracha, which the more specialized the bracha, the higher level it is considered. However, in the case of kemach, in the case of flour, islei iluyo achrino bapas, it has a further level of improvement, namely by going from flour into some baked item like bread. Therefore, I'm not going to make a Borei Pri Ha'adomah, which is a specialized bracha, on something that has a further stage of improvement. The Gemara asks, and you'll notice this question lasts around six lines. We have a long question marking. So the question, the Gemara challenges Rav Nachman's analysis. It says, "V'chi yisle ilui achrino lo mevachenu leBorei Pri Ha'adomah elo shalkol." Is that really so? That when something has a further level of improvement, it won't receive a Borei Pri Ha'adomah bracha, but rather the lesser significant shehakol bracha. The Omar Rabbi Zera, Omar Rav Matana, Omar Shmuel. A kora chaya, the aleph is a prefix, the vegetation's name is kora. On a raw kora, the kimcha desairi, on barley flour, just let us know parenthetically, but it will be significant as we go on in the Gemara. Seorim, barley is considered a lesser significant food item than wheat. In fact, barley is portrayed or described as animal food, as opposed to human food, chita being human food. So the teaching here of Shmuel is on a raw korah and on kimcha desairi, on a barley flour, mevorchinon alayhu shakol niyeh bedvaro. This would leave room for an inference, or we say an extrapolation. My lav, the chiti, if you were dealing with kemach of chiti, of wheat, flour, borei pri huadama. So this is a challenge to Rav Nachman's analysis. Here you have something that is wheat flour, and it has an additional level of improvement it can undergo. And yet, from our extrapolating from kemach surim, which gets a shakol, the higher quality food, kemachitim, would get the borei pri adama. Loi. Rav Nachman will reject that. Dechiti nami shakol niya bivoro. Flour of made from wheat will also be like the kemach surim and have a shehakol bracha. The Gemara now asks on Shmuel. Shmuel just told us on kemach of seorim there is a shehakol. Now, if Rav Nachman's analysis is correct, v'leshaminon dechiti, why doesn't Shmuel teach us that on kemach of chitim, it gets, even though it's more chashiv, it gets only a shehakol? The koshikin desarin, certainly then the lesser significant barley flour would have a shehakol. Well, and since Shmuel doesn't teach it like that, that throws a question onto Rav Nachman. The Gemara says no. That really kemach of chiti and kemach of serum is going to be shehakol. And if you'll ask, so why didn't Shmuel focus on kemach of chiti, on wheat flour? E ashmin de chiti. Had Shmuel focused his teaching on wheat flour, have amino hani mini de chiti, I would have thought that you make a brocha altogether, you would, on kemach of chitim alone, avol desairi, but on kemach of seorim, lo livrecha leklal, there would be no bracha recited whatsoever. Komash mlon, therefore Shmuel told us that on kemach seorim you make a shehakol, so as to preclude this hava amina. The Gemara asks, would I really have had such a havamina? We dashed underline the line before the word havamina, so we can focus on this point. Is that really a havamina? that I would have thought you would make no bracha whatsoever. Umi gora mi melach v'zomis, is wheat, is barley flour any less significant than salt and zomis? Disnan al hamelach v'al hazomis oy meshakol niyabidvaro. On salt and on zomis, you say eshehakol. So if you say on salt and zomis eshehakol, you wouldn't have thought that on barley flour you make no bracha. The Gemara says, itzterich, I still do need Shmuel. I need Shmuel to tell me that on kemach sorim you make shehakol. Salkadai techamino, melech v'zomis ovid inchi deshodi lupume. That in fact melech and zomis have an element that makes it more choshev than barley flour, insofar as people put it in their mouths. They put salt in their mouths, or zomis in their mouths. Avokimcha desairi, hoyo v'koshe lekukiani. However, barley flour, which has a downside to it, in that it produces or accelerates the growth of certain type of stomach worms, kukiani, or stomach worms. Therefore, you wouldn't find people putting it in their mouths. Therefore, I would have thought lo livrich ole klal, that you should not make a brocha on barley flour whatsoever. Komash malon, Shmuel then comes to tell me kevan disle hanomine, since you do experience pleasure from it at the moment, boi bruchi, it requires a brocha. So Rav Nachman at the end of the story maintains his ground, and the fact that Shmuel seems to emphasize that on kemach of sa'urim you make a shahakol, that is not to imply that on kemach of chitim you would make a borei pri adoma, but rather Shmuel had to teach me about kemach of sa'urim because there was grounds for thinking that if he didn't tell me about that, I would have thought maybe no brocha is made on kemach of sa'urim whatsoever. Kura, a new food item. And we look in the Rashi, a few lines up, Kura, Rach, Shel, Dekel, Kishanofel, Gidele, B'chol, Shana, V'shana. We're talking about a palm tree, the soft new growth of a palm tree. Every year, the palm tree produces new branches, which are essentially they're called leaves. Kederech, Kol, Hoylonos, Anoisef, B'shana, Zu, Rach, U'B'shana, Shnia, Miskashe, V'nasa, Eitz. As soon as it emerges, the first year that the branches emerge, they're actually soft, and from this Gemara, they seem to be edible. But leaving them on the tree any longer till the next season, they already become hard. So, Kura, Rav Yehuda Omer, Borei Pri Adam, Ushmuel Omer, Shehakol Niyeh Bedvoroi. The Gemara will now present the background to the two shitas, the logic behind these two shitas, but then we're going to see something surprising as this Gemara unfolds, where Shmuel actually wants to adopt Rav Yehuda's point of view. Let us continue. Rav Yehuda Omer, Borei Pri Adama, why? Pirahu. It's pri. It's something that grows from this. It's part of the tree, and the tree grows from the ground. So it's part of the tree growth. Hence, it's pri ho'adama. It's the produce of the ground. So that would be an accurate bracha to say over the kura. Ushmuel marshakol niyabot midvaro. Why hoyel v'soifoy lahakshos? This is going to eventually turn hard, and as such, it's not something in its eventuality, it's not something that is edible. So we're going to take that element of it into consideration right now, and it gets this lower level bracha of shehakol. Amalei Shmuel, the Rav Yehuda. Shinina is an expression meaning wise one or sharp one. Kavosech mistabra. But your opinion seems more likely. The hot snoin, soifoi lahakshos. We should mention that it's our practice in Gemara markings to minimize the amount of translation of food items unless we have a very well-known, solid tradition on what the item is. For example, things like chita, we know, is wheat, sa'urim is barley, melach is salt, etc. But items that aren't that well known as part of the standard tradition of food items, we hesitate to translate. From time to time, we'll say what is commonly thought to be the translation, but and sometimes you'll find words appearing in the Gemara that are part of modern Hebrew, but that doesn't guarantee that that's the authentic Talmudic meaning just because modern Hebrew adopted it. So we hesitate, and certainly we want to remain as non-committal as possible to translations of things other than things when we speak about things we're referring to, foodstuffs and animals and plants, etc., unless they're very well known. So tznon is a vegetable that sofo lahakshos, that eventually if you leave it in the ground longer than it's ordinarily picked, it will become hard. And yet umevorchinon ole borei pri adamah. So what do you see from the tznon precedent? Even though something is sofo lahakshos, that doesn't mean it gets a reduced quality bracha. It will get the specialized borei pri adamah. So Shmuel is actually conceding to Rav Yehuda's approach that there should be borei pri adamah even though it's sofo lahakshos. And yet the Gemara, as impressive as Shmuel's behavior here seems to be, trying to concede to the one who argued with him, the Gemara does not relinquish Shmuel's opinion. The lohi tznon nati inshi adaito de pugla. When the tznon is planted, it's planted with the intention of eating it when it's still in its soft edible form, and it's called pugla at that point. Dikla, however, with regard to the palm tree and the kura, which is our discussion, lo nati inshi adaito de kura. People don't plant palm trees with the intention of eating that. The Gemara asks, the cholhecha de lo nati inshi adaito dochi lo mevorchinun ale. And where there is lack of intent, does that mean it won't get the specialized bracha, but it will get only shehakol? Vahare tzlaf. The tzlaf is a type of tree for our purposes. Denati inshi adaita de parcha. People plant tzlaf for the parcha. Parcha is the name of its fruit. Utnan. And yet we have a source regarding the tzlaf. The tzlaf plant, and it says almine natspa. Natspa is another word for tzlaf. So mine are the different growths, the different aspects of this tzlaf plant. Almine natspa al heolin vala tomoros, on the leaves. The tomoros are some type of growth that grows from some type of protuberances that grow forth from the leaves. So on the olin and tomoros, omer borei pri ha'adamah. Vala evyonos vala kafrisin, omer borei pri ha'etz. Evyonos is the fruit. With regard to the tzlaf plant, the same item, the fruit has a number of different names to it. So that in this source we say the pircha, with the line before we said pircha was the name of its fruit. In this Tanaic source, the same thing is called evyonos. So that when we deal with the tzlaf, people plant it for the fruit, and yet you see the other elements of the tzlaf plant will get a borei pri adamah, even though you didn't plant it for those other elements. So too with regard to the kura, just because it wasn't the palm wasn't planted for eating the fresh branches as they emerge when they're still edible, that's not a reason for it to get shehakol. Omar Rav Nachman Yitzchok, he explains that there's a difference between tzlaf and kura. Tzlaf nati inshi adaito deshusa. When the tzlaf is planted, it's planted with the intention of eating. Deshusa is a reference to many different parts of the tzlaf plant. Rashi says tzlaf nati inshi adaito deshusa lechol es ha'olim vesatmoros. To eat the leaves and the protuberances from the leaves, she'ena mimatinas le'ilim b'kach, by taking the leaves from the tzlaf plant and these tomoros, you're not going to be stunting or reducing or limiting the growth of the tzlaf. So therefore, when the tzlaf is planted, it's planted really with the intention of eating more than just the fruit itself. Dikla, the palm tree, though, no, lo nati inshi adaita de kura. People do not plant it with the intention of eating the kura. and the svara for that is, Rashi points out that if you eat the kura of the palm tree, it basically reduces the growth of the tree. You're limiting the tree because that kura really represents the new and eventual leaves and branches of the palm tree. So you're stunting it by eating it before it grows to its full hard extended level. The Afagav the Kalsei Shmuel the Rav Yehuda, even though Shmuel praised Rav Yehuda, who held that you say Bori Pri Adama, Hilchos Hakavasi de Shmuel, the Halacha will follow Shmuel on with regard to the Kura that you will make a Shehakol Niyabidvaray. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the side of the Gemara, and it's called Tzlaf. And we note that this lasts till Omid Beis. In fact, we already touched on Tzlaf a bit, and now we're going to speak about it quite extensively. So under the Nosei heading, we've written Tzlaf, Mahu HaPri, Umahu HaShomer LePri. We'll be talking about the basic fruit of the Tzlaf plant and the Shomer LePri. Literally is that the guarding, that which guards the fruit. Things like peels of fruits and blossoms that stick to the fruit all fall under the category of a potential shomer lepri. The significance of defining something as a shomer lepri and all will become obvious as we go on in the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Tzlaf Shel Orla. The tzlaf, which we categorize as a tree, as a din of a tree. Hence, during its first 3 years, the din of Orla will apply, and Orla states that the fruit of Orla trees are forbidden b'hana. When we say Orla trees, it means all those fruit trees within their first 3 years. So Tzlaf Shel Orla b'chutzal, it's outside of Eretz Yisrael, Zorek Eso Evyonos, you throw away the fruit, the Evyonos is the fruit, V'yochel Eso Kafrisin. And you are entitled to eat the kafrisin. Rashi says on this kafrisin hu klipa gedoyla shesvivos hapri, a large peel surrounding the fruit ke'en klipa hagedela saviv egoizim vakim, similar to the peel that grows around small nuts. We're not talking about nut shells, but there is a peel that if you ever experienced harvesting nuts from trees, there's a peel that appears around them in which the nut develops. So the Rav Yehuda Marav tells us that you throw away the avionis, that's the fruit itself, but the klipa around it you can eat. Lememra, the avionos peri, the kafrisin la peri, is this to suggest that only the avionos are called pri, and the kafrisin are not pre, by virtue of the fact that we're allowing you to eat it on Orla within the first 3 years, you're telling me that it's not considered the fruit of the tree, because if it were, it would be under the prohibition of Orla. V'rominu, we raise a contradiction from the following sources, Almine Natzpa, on different parts of the tzlaf plant. This source we saw just before, Al-Olim Val-Tomoros Omer Bo-Pri Adoma, now we've dashed on the line kafrisin and the expression bori pri eitz. Well, what does that show you? It shows you that the kafrisin are considered its fruit. A moment ago, you said that the kafrisin of Orla in Chutz Loretz, you are entitled to eat, but Orla is noheg in Chutz Loretz with regard to the fruit. So, but in this source, the kafrisin are called fruit. So if this source were reputable, then you wouldn't be eating it in Chutz Loretz when it's Orla. Who? The Omar Karebi Akiva. Rav follows the opinion of Rebbe Akiva. Rav, who was saying that the kafrisin are not considered its fruit. Disnan, the source appears having two shittas in it. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Tzlaf Misasir Tomorrow's Avionis V'Kafrisin. When you're tithing the tzlaf plant, you would take a tithe, you take Meiser from the Tomoros and the Avionos and the Kafrisin. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ein Misaser El Avionis Bovad, the Avionos being the fruit itself, Mnei Shehu Pri, that is the fruit. But the Kafrisin, which we explained before, was the klipa that grew around the fruit, that is not fruit. So if you say the Kafrisin are not fruit, so I understand Rav Yudah Marav's position that the Tzlaf of Orla Chutzlar, so during the Orla years, you can eat the Kafrisin, the klipa that's around the fruit. The Gemara asks, the name of Halach Rabbi Kiva. You'll see a series of triangles here, a couple of triangles, one here and another one a few lines later. The question is on Rav, why did he say the halacha the way he said it when there are alternative ways for him to phrase it? So the name of the Gemara asks, couldn't Rav have said halacha k'Rabbi Akiva? If you would have taken this last source and said halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, so I would know that only the Avionos are the fruit, the Kafrisin are not the fruit, and everything else would follow from that. If I say it's not the fruit, so you'll say a Borei Pri Adoma only on the Avionos and not on the Kafrisin. And likewise, if it's Orla, so I will throw away the Avionos because that is the fruit, and I won't throw away the Kafrisin. So by saying the halacha is like Rabbi Kiva, all of what we just said would have followed. The Gemara answers, Yomar halacha Rabbi Kiva, had Rabbi Yehuda Marav said simply the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, Havi Amina Afilu Baretz, I would have thought that we'll mafresh maestros from the Avionos alone, even in Eretz Yisrael. Komash Malon, Rav is telling me, Kol HaMekel Baretz, anyone who is argue, this is a rule regarding Orla, and it says that anyone who is Mekel with regard to Mitzvahs Hatluyas Baretz, regard to these kind of agricultural mitzvahs, and someone is the Mekel, Halacha Kemoisa B'chutzaras, the Halacha will follow him when it comes to the diaspora. Aval Baretz lo, but in the land of Israel itself, no. So there's by not saying simply Halacha Rabbi Akiva, but rather spelling things out the way he did, we learn this principle. The question now the Gemara asks, V'neim Halacha Rabbi Akiva b'chutz laretz, why doesn't Rav Yehuda Amarav say the Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva in the diaspora, the Chol HaMekel Baretz Halacha Kamoso b'chutz laretz? So he could have said it the halacha that way instead of spelling out everything the way he did. The Gemara answers, E Omar Hochi, had he said the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva b'chutz laretz, based on the idea that anyone who's Mekel in Eretz Yisrael, we saw Rabbi Akiva was Mekel, that he's Mechayev Hafrosha only from the Avionos Bavad, so his opinion will be the one to follow in chutz laretz. So had he said it thusly, Havi Amina, Hani Mili, Gabi, Meiser, Elon, I would have thought that, well, this idea of being lenient will apply to the topic that Rabbi Akiva himself had spoken about, which was taking tithes from fruit growing from trees. Or it's Gufa Midrabanan. In Eretz Yisrael itself, it is only of a rabbinic necessity. Midoraisa, only one is mafresh only from Dogon Tiro Shvietzer, from grains, from wine and from olive oil. So had Rav Yehuda Marav said the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva in chutz laretz, I would have thought that this is all true with regard to Meiser Ilan, that we can afford to be so lenient, because in Eretz Yisrael itself it's only Durabon Aval Gabi Orla Devaratz Midaraisa, but when speaking about Orla topics, which we know in Eretz Yisrael, Orla is binding Midoraisa. Ema b'chutzaretz nami nigzar. I would have thought that even in chutzaretz we shall impose a restriction. Komash Malon, so Rav tells us that that with regard to Orlo in Chutz Laretz, we can in fact continue to be Mekil. And the result of that is that you will be able to eat the kafrisin of Orla in Chutz Laretz. Ravina Ashchi Lemor Bar Rav Ashi, because Zorek Evyonis Vikocha Kafrisin. Ravina encountered more Rav Ashi, who was throwing away the Evyonas and eating the kafrisin. Amale, my daitoch. What's your basis for doing this? Rabbi Kiva de Mekel. Is it because you are accepting the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, who is the lenient one? Well, if we go up a number of lines, we see Rabbi Kiva says that your mafresh meiser is only from the Evyonas alone. So Mar Rav Ashi, who was throwing away the Evyonas and eating the kafrisin, must be because he is relying on a Mekel opinion. It's probably worth noting that Mar Rav Ashi was dealing with Orla, Tzlaf of Orla, and he was throwing out the Evyonis, which was the basic fruit, and eating the Kafrisin, which we said was the shell or the peel of the fruit. Omar, the Klipa, as Rashi called it before, the Omar Lei, so Ravina, observing Mar Rav Ashi, said, "My daitoch, what is the basis of your behavior, Rabbi Akiva de Meiko? Is it because you are subscribing to Rabbi Akiva that said that only the Avyoyunis would require tithing, because only that is considered fruit and not any other part of the plant? So if you're interested, or your behavior is based on an opinion of leniency, the Levid Mar Kebe Shamei de Mekili Tvei, then you could have chosen an even more lenient opinion, that of Beis Shammai Disnan. We have a source, Tzlaf Beis Shammai Omrim Kilayim Bekerim, Ubeis Hillel Omrim Ein Kilayim Bekerim. The law of Kilayim Bekerim applies to planting Yerokos, or planting Zroim, as opposed to trees. One tree planted in the proximity of another tree does not create kilayim, but planting zroim, which are non-tree plants, in the context or in the vicinity of a vineyard, does result in kilayim. So Beis Shammai says that the tzlaf represents a kilayim problem in a vineyard. Well, Beis Hillel Omrim ein kilayim bekerem. It's not a kilayim causer, because it is a tree. Elu v'elu moedim shechayav ba'orla. Both agree that it's chayav and orla. This last phrase is very difficult to understand. The Gemara will deal with the phrase in the brackets, these upcoming brackets, which essentially deal with the internal question. However, when you focus on Beis Shammai before getting involved with the question of the source that's on, we're asking on the source, Beis Shammai said that the tzlaf would be kilayim in a kerem. If you planted tzlaf in the kerem, it would create kilayim. That would show us that the tzlaf is basically a vegetable, is a plant as opposed to a tree. And if that's the case, so it's a plant and not a tree, so the dinim of Orla won't apply. And therefore, Mar Rav Ashi didn't have to throw out anything. And if we skip the brackets for a moment, you'll see that's what the Gemara says, Mikol Mokom LeBeis Shammai Havilei Sofek Orla. As far as Beis Shammai is concerned, that Tzlaf would represent something that's only Sofek Orla, and if that's the case, even the fruit itself would have been mutter. Utnan sofek orla beretz Yisrael osir b'sirim mutter b'chutz laretz yori v'lokech sofek orla in Chutz Laretz, which is where the story of Mar Rav Ashi took place. The halacha says yored, the Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, v'lokeach u'bevach yorenu lokeh. You can go into a field where you know the owner has orla trees along with more adult trees growing, and go into the field and buy, as long as you don't see the owner picking the fruit from the trees themselves. So, all, with this in mind, when you're dealing with Sufek, when you're dealing with the Tzlaf, it's the Tzlaf is Sufek Orla, even the fruit itself should be Mutter. So the Gemara was focusing on Mar Bravashi. Why was he throwing out the fruit? Let us now go over the question again with the bracketed section as well. We saw Mar Bravashi, who was dealing with Tzlaf of Orla in Chutz Laretz, and he was throwing away the fruits but eating the peel or the shell around them. Ravina asked Mar Bravashi, are you eating the fruits based on holding like Rabbi Kiva, that you're eating the shells based on Rabbi Kiva, who says that the shells are not considered fruit? Well, you can, if you are seeking out a lenient opinion, you can go even more leniently and follow Beis Shammai, who would tell you that you can actually eat the fruit itself. The Gemara then ran into a problem when you're dealing with the source beginning Tzlaf Beis Shammai Omrim, and you read the end of the source, we seem to have an internal contradiction. Ha Gufa Kashya. Amris Tzlaf Beis Shammai Omrim Kilayim Bekerem. On the one hand, you say that Tzlaf represents Kilayim in the Kerem, Almo Min Yerek, who would have the din of a vegetable. That, namely, that a vegetable creates a Kilayim problem in a Kerem, and not another tree. Other Tony, and then you say in the same source, that everyone will agree, according even Beis Shammai, that there is a Chiyuv Orla, indicating that it is a tree. Orla is Shayach only by trees. Amo min Elon, who? So then you're saying that the Tzlaf is a type of tree. So I want to review this last question. If Beis Shammai says that Tzlaf in a Kerem is a Kilayim problem, you're telling me it's a Yerek. If you're telling me that everyone agrees that there is an Orla problem, you're telling me then it's a tree. So the Gemara says, Ha lo kashya. That does not represent a problem. Beis Shammai sfuke misafke lehu. Beis Shammai is in doubt. The avdi hocha lechumra v'hocha lechumra. In the case of how to classify things. So, with regard to that source, we take the chumras of both sides. So, there is a kilayim problem bekerem, because we're going to view it as a yerek with regard to kilayim, and eluvei lemodim it's chayv in orla, because of our suffolk, we're going to say that the dinim of trees will apply to it, and it'll be fruits will be usher for the first 3 years. Mikol Mokom, the Gemara continues, LeBeis Shammai Havilei Sofek Orla. The source, as we just demonstrated, is portraying the Tzlaf as a Sofek Orla issue. Havilei Sofek Orla Utnan. And there is a Tanaic source regarding the way we deal with Sofek Orla. Sofek Orla Beretz Yisrael Oser, Besur Mutter, Ubechusor Yoreid Velokeach. So if Mar Bravashi was eating the kafrisin based on following a mekil shita, he could have gone further. He could have eaten the fruits themselves, basing yourself on Beis Shammai's approach, which would have classified the tzlaf as something that's suffered whether orla applies to it, and as such, the fruit of a Sofek Orla in Chutz Laretz itself could have been eaten. So why did Mar Bravashi not go all the way? The Gemara answers, Rebbe Akiva b'mokum Rebbe Eliezer avdino kavasei. When you have a face-off between Rebbe Akiva and Rebbe Shmuel, so Rebbe Akiva is someone that you would choose, you might choose over Rebbe Eliezer, and that information has significance. Ubeis Shammai b'mokom beis Hillel eino mishnah. However, in citing Beis Shammai's opinion, when we know that Beis Hillel argues with them, Beis Shammai's opinion is ki'ilu, it's not there even. And therefore, suggesting to, for Mar Bravashi to be even more makel and follow Beis Shammai's approach to the tzlaf, that is going too far. The Gemara asks, "V'tepuk lei, why not learn that there's an iser of the kafrisin, because the nasa shomer lepri? It's a shomer lepri. It helps guard the fruit. This is the, we're talking about the shell or the peel. It guards the fruit. Rachman Amar, the pasuk says, "Ra'altem or losu es prio, es a tofel leprio, that which is subsidiary to the fruit, umayniu shomer lepri." So the, and the pasuk is talking about orla, so that the orla will include the kafrisin, the shomer lepri. So we should we not actually aser the kafrisin because of its status as a klipa or shomer lepri? Then the question will come back: why do we see Mar Bravashi, for example, eating the klipa of the tzlaf plant? Omar Rabba Hecha Amrinan. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have diamonds, and under the subtopic heading in the outside margin, the Tatnose Mivneh, we explain here the diamonds featured Shlavim Bebir Masayim Rina Nasir Shomer Lepri. Under what circumstances do we say something is called a Shomer Lepri? By calling something a Shomer Lepri, so I'm basically equating it with the pre itself, and if it's an Orla issue, I won't eat it. But but right now, is it? Can we say that the kafrisin has the requirements in order to categorize it as shomer lepri? And that's what these diamonds are coming to do. As we skim down the omid, we'll see three of them, and they'll be trying to challenge this particular point that the kafrisin is going to be considered shomer lepri, and therefore it should not have been eaten on an orla during the orla years. Oma Rova, Hecho Amrino Danasa Shemer Lepri, Hecho de Ise Bain Betolush Bain Bemachubar. When is something said to be a Shomer Lepri and hence be forbidden? That is when it's together with the fruit, whether the fruit is still growing, it's mechubar, or it has already been detached. Hacha, in the case of the kafrisin, b'mechubar ise betolish lese, it's on the fruit when it's in its growing stages. However, by the time it is detached from the plant, the kafrisin are no longer on the fruit. Therefore, it's not considered a shomer lepri, and therefore it's not an orla problem. Esvei abaye. A question is raised that lasts a number of lines. As you can see, we have a long question marking. Pitmo shel rimoin mitstarefes. Vanetz shelo ein mitstaref. We're going to develop the question by combining a few different facts and making some parallels. So initially we're going to be talking about a rimon, which is often translated as a pomegranate. However, we're going to have to use this information and apply it to the evyonos and the kafrisin of the tzlaf plant. So in the meantime, we're developing the question. The source we just quoted deals with something called tumas oichlin. In order for food to become tome and transmit the tuma to another food item, you have to have a kibetz, an egg quantity of food stuff. So the source describes a pomegranate where the basic pomegranate food or meat is lacking an egg quantity. And it says here that the pitmos shel rimon mitzdarefes, the Rashi says pitmos shel rimon haperach sheberoshoy, the blossom at the tip of it, ke'ein sheish letapuchim, like apples have, is mitzdaref to the kebetzah quantity for tumas ochlin, v'hanetz shelo ein mitzdaref. The Rashi explains that the netz of a rimon is like the kafris of the avyonos. For our purposes, translation is less important than understanding what needs to be equated. So the netz of the Rimon is like the kafris of the Evyonos. And the nates, we have to say, is something that is not on the Rimon when it's tolush, when it's detached. Midekomar hanates shelo ein mitzdare, from the fact that it says that the nates does not join to the egg quantity, alma delav oichelhu. It shows us that it's not viewed as a food stuff. Vitana gabi orla, and in a source dealing with this, with the rimon and the and orla, in the context of orla, it says klipe rimon vehanates sheloi klipe egoizim vehagarinim chayovin baorla, that the laws of orla will apply. So here you have something that is not on it when it's detached. It's fallen off already. It's not on it when it's detached, and yet, and it's also not considered a food item, and yet there is a chiyuv orla. So the question is, how could Mar Brav Ashi be eating the kafrisin? We saw that he threw away the avyonos, the fruit itself of the slaf, but he was eating the kafrisin. But the kafrisin we're equating with the nates, and the nates we see is chayav and orla. So how could he eat the kafrisin? Elo omar rova. You notice with our markings, we're now at stage 2 of this analysis. Heicho amrino denas elu shomer lepri. When is something going to become a shomer lepri and hence be bound by the laws of orla? Heicho diisei b'shas gemar pira. That's when it's on the fruit, at the point the fruit is completed, is fully developed. High kafris, let's say b'shas gemar pira. The kafris is not on the on the evyonis, on the fruit at the point of gemar pri. Therefore, it's not considered a shomer lepri. The Gemara asks a question that lasts a number of lines as well, another long question. Eini, is this rule really so? V'omar Rav Nachman, omar Rabo Baravua, hani maschili de'orlo, asiri. Now, Rashi on maschili de'orlo, v'tamri, this is on, maschili is with dates, kekafris bitzlaf. So the once again, an equation is made. The maschili is the same as the kafris for our purposes. And it says the maschili of orla, the maschili of the tamorim, when it's within 3 years, when it's during its orla period, asiri, hoyel v'nasu shomer lepri, v'shomer lepri emas have b'kufra. Shomer pri is deemed such when it's bekufra. Bekufra means when the tamorim are small, when the dates are small in development, when they're young in their development. The kokori le shomer lepri. So you have something termed shomer lepri, even though it's not gemar pri. Therefore, the kafris should still be considered a shomer and hence usser. So once again, how can Mar Brav Ashi be eating the kafrisin? Now this question was based on Rav Nachman's ruling. The Gemara says Rav Nachman sovar lo k'Reb Yosi. Rav Nachman is not the basis for raising a question. He goes like a singular opinion as opposed to a majority opinion. He goes like the opinion of Reb Yosi. Disnan Reb Yosi Omer smodar oser mipnei shehu pri upligi rabbanan olei. Reb Yosi says that grapes, as soon as the blossom falls off, which is a smother, very early stage of development, the rule of Orla already applies. But the Rabbonon disagree. Therefore, the Kafris is not considered a Shomer Lepri. So, let's to review this last point. Rav Nachman, who spoke about the Maschili, the orla, as being something that's a shomer lepri, and we should point out the response here is that Rav Nachman is based on a Shitas Yochid that's willing to categorize something that's very young as a pre, but the Rabbanon disagree. Therefore, the Kafris is not a Shomer Lepri. Maskif lo Rav Simi min Hardah. Now, here's a long question. That is a question on this last answer. He says, "Ubishar ilni mi pligi rabbanon ole." Is it so that regarding other trees, meaning other than the grape vine, the rabbanon would disagree with Rabbi Yosi? V'hotnan meimosai ein kotsitzin esilonis b'shvius. Shvius is the Shemitah year, the sabbatical year. It's forbidden to engage in agricultural activities that improve plants and trees. So from what point in the Shemitah year is there a prohibition of pruning trees? And another aspect of Shemitah that we have to say is that it's Shemitah is a year in which you're supposed to benefit from the fruits and not destroy the fruits, not ruin the fruits. So from what point in the fruit development will the prohibition of cutting the fruits off the tree start? And cutting them off not for eating purpose, cutting them off for pruning the tree, but at the same time you're ruining the fruits that are growing on the tree. So from what point will the prohibition of being mafsid, the fruit, kick in? All trees, when the fruit emerges. Basil is more specific. The carob tree, when the carob fruit, it appears that there's like possibly veins or little chain works that are appear on the chorov fruit. Vagifanim mishi yigru, when it comes to the grapes, when they develop a certain size, which is simply referred to right now as mishi yigru, it's a certain size of grape development. Vehazesim mishi yonitsu, and Shar Kol Hoilonos Mishiotziu. The Omar Rav Asi, Hu Boiser, Hu Gorua, Hu Pul Halovan. The term Gorua that we saw by the Gifane Mishiyigru is the same thing as a Bosar level of development, and says Hu Pul Halovan. The Gemara interrupts the flow and says Pul Halovan Salkadaitoch. Pul halovan is a type of bean, and we're talking about grapes. So elo emo shiuro kepul halovan, when the grape is considered the shiur of gorua, which is bosar, it happens to be the size of a pul halovan, which is a known size, and so that's the bosar size. Man shamisle de omar boiser in smodarlo, who is known to say that it's considered a fruit when it's bosar in development as opposed to smodar. That's the Rabbonon. We saw Rabbi Yossi above saying that even when it's smodar, which is an earlier stage, it already has a din of a pre, of a fruit. Who disagrees? That's the Rabbonon, the Kotoni. And in the same source, it's taught, though, Sha'ar kol ho'ilonos mishiotziu, all other trees, when they when the fruit comes forth, all of the trees, including the tzlaf. So, the main point now is by the evyonos, when they are at this stage, evyonos are the fruit of the tzlaf, the kafris is on them at this stage, at the mishiotziu stage. So it's considered a pre, and the kafris would be the shomer lepri. So that even though it's not there when the fruit is fully developed, that doesn't mean it's not a shomer lepri. And to suggest that Rav Nachman represented only a shitas yochid, that's not so. Elo Omar Rova. Hecho amino davi shomer lepri. When is something called a shomer lepri? Hecho dichishak l'slei l'shomer mayis piras. When you remove it, the fruit dies. Hocha, in the case of the kafris, kishak l'slei, when you remove it from the berry, from the avionus, loy maisa pira. Lo mayis pira, the fruit of the tzlaf does not die. That's a sign that the kafris is not a shomer, and therefore there is no orla restriction. Have uvda v'shaklu l'nates the rimon of yovish rimona. A maisa took place where they removed the nates of the rimon, and the rimon dried out. V'shaklu l'pircha de batisa. Now the marshal explains that once again we have words that are all they are synonyms for one another. The pircha is the same as the kafris. So we remove the kafris, the batisa. That's the same as avyonis. So we remove the kafris from avyonis. V'kaya batisa, and the fruit, the batisa, the avyonis continued to live. So, at this point in the Gemara, we basically conclude our analysis of Mar Rav Ashi's behavior. Mar Rav Ashi was in Chutz Laaretz, and he was dealing with the Tzlaf of Orla. He was throwing out the fruit, because the fruit of Orla in Chutz Laaretz is something to be strict with. It's forbidden. However, the Shomer Lepri is something that you can be lenient about. Or let's say more accurately, the Kafrisin was not even a Shomer Lepri, and therefore it didn't have a din of Shomer Lepri, therefore he was able to be lenient with regard to the Kafrisin. There is a parenthesis section in the Gemara, and this is not from the Gemara itself. Rather, it's from the Halachos Gedolos, which is a work that preceded Rashi, but it's a much later non-Gemara section. The only reason we're mentioning this is because later, for those who are interested and want to tune into our Tosfos shiur, the Tosfos does regard these next few lines and comments on it, but Tosfos as well understands that it is not from the Gemara. It's rather from the Halachos Gedolos. But for the time being, since we're right now focusing on the Daf Yomi Gemara Shir, we pick up with the Gemara after these parentheses. Pilpali. And here, once again, you see we've circled the word. These are different food items that will feature with this marking. On the side of the Gemara, there are no say heading. We're going to be discussing in the upcoming lines Brochus al Pilpali, Chovitz Kedera, and Daisa, different food items. We will attempt to give a partial explanation of what these are when we look at Rashi's Pshat. Pilpali, we can translate pilpali as peppercorns. They're the things that grow on trees that eventually are ground into a spice. Some use them as is, as a spice. Pilpali, Rav Sheshes Omar Sheakol, Rova Omar Lo Klum. If you eat the peppercorns, Rav Sheshe says you make a brichas sheakol, and Rava says you don't make any brocha. The Ozda Rava Litamei. Rava, in saying no brocha needs to be made on it, is consistent with what Rava says elsewhere. The Amar Rava, kos pilpuli biyoimi, the kipuri potter. The word kos is like the word koses. It's a, Rashi describes or explains the when this term is used. Rashi kos pilpuli, kol dover shodom oichel shaloka darko mikri ksiso. All eatings, all forms of consumption that are in an unusual way, is referred to by the term kos. Another halacha of Rava, kos zangvila biyom etikipuri poter. So the fact that if you consume these things by chewing on peppercorns and Yom Kippur, you're not considered in violation of Yom Kippur. It shows us that it's not a food item. There's nothing wrong on Yom Kippur with taking a piece of paper and chewing it. That's not called eating. It's not something designed for eating. And therefore, there's no bracha, according to Rava. Meisvei, we have a Tanaic source. Hoya Rebbe Meir Omer, Mimash Meshinema Veralta Molosas Purio. The fact that the Torah, in dealing with Orla, it says that you shall maintain or observe as Orla the fruits of the tree. Ein yodeh she'etz ma'achol, wouldn't I know that it's a fruit-bearing tree, a tree of eating, meaning the fruits? Elamatam lo me'etz ma'achol, why does the pasuk go on to say that, why does the pasuk say eitz ma'achol, why does it spell out that expression? Once you said that that you're dealing with the fruits must be observed as arla, obviously they're fruits of a fruit-bearing tree. So what does this extra expression, this redundancy, accomplish? La'avi eitz shetam eitzo upirio shoveh. It comes to include those kinds of trees where the wood and the fruit of the tree have the same taste. The eizehu zeh ha-pilpulin. What is that? That's the pilpulin. Lamdecha sha-pilpulin chayovin ba'orla. This tells me that pilpulin are Usser during the first 3 years as Orla. They are the fruit of the tree. Ulam decha, shein Eretz Yisrael chaseru klum. And it also teaches me that Eretz Yisrael is not missing anything. Anything that's necessary is in Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, Eretz Yisrael b'meskinus teicha bolechem lo sechsar kol bo. Everything is in Eretz Yisrael, including pilpulin. What do we see from here? We see that the pilpulin are chayovim b'orla. So they are, therefore, they are a fruit of the tree, and it's not called a non-edible. If it were non-edible, it would be like the wood of the tree, and wood is not usser during the first 3 years of a tree's development. So how can Rava say that there by that the consumption of pilpuli no bracha is made? The Gemara says lo kashya, there isn't any problem. Ha b'ritivta, ha b'yaveshta. Ritifta, it's fresh, it's not dry yet, so then it's something that we would say is chayav ba'orla. If it's dried out, so then it would be something like Rava was talking about, that there would be no bracha recited over it. Amri le Rabbonan Amremar. The Rabbonan said to Amremar, Kos zangvil biyomit kipuri, potter. Someone who chews on zangvil, on Yom Kippur, zangvil is a type of spice, he would be exempt from the kores penalty of Yom Kippur that one gets if he eats something. V'ho'omar Rava, but the Gemara asks, did Rava not say, Ha'him l'so de'asyem be hindui sharya u'mevorchen olea bore priyadoma? Now we have to make an equation here, that hindui, or the ha'im l'so that comes from hindui, the Rabbeinu Yonah says, is a type of elixir or a type of ground substance that you make from zangvila. So for our purposes, we have to associate himlisa with zangvila. So the himlisa that's prepared in Bay Hindui, there is no problem of bishul nohri. Sharya means it's mutter. It's mutter, and it doesn't have an iser of something that a Gentile cooked up, which would ordinarily be usser, but the iser of bishul nohri doesn't apply to this. Umevorchna borei pri ha'adoma, and you do make a bracha. So what we have to do is focus on how could the Rabbonin say to Meimar that chewing on Gzangvim Kippur is potter, meaning it's not a food item, when Rava describes this Zangvil related substance as something that you make a bracha over, meaning it's a food item. Loi kash oberativta ha biaveshta. If it's fresh, then you would make a bracha. If it's dried out, then it's not considered an oichot, it's not considered a food item. We have a new food item. Chovitz kedera v'chein daisa. Rashi, chovitz kedera, min maichel kafui. It's a type of congealed food substance. Kemo cholav shechavtzu b'keva, just like milk curdles when it's prepared with keva, the stomach enzymes of an animal. Kach oisim maichel kafui b'kedera. So too, there's a food that is congealed, that's prepared in a pot. Later, the Gemara explains it's made of flour, of duvsha, honey, and oil. And the korolo av rushti. So, chovitz kedera, which we just described in Rashi, we dashed underlined the key ingredients so that it's easier to see what it is. It's this mixture of flour, honey, and oil. and Daisa. Rashi says Daisa Shechitim. It's Shechitim Ksushos B'machteshes. It's a type of a porridge made of crushed wheat kernels. So Chovetz Kedera and Daisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shakol Niyam B'dvaroi. Rabbi Kana Omer Borei Minei Mizonos. B'Daisa Greida Kulema Lo Pligi D'Borei Minei Mizonos. Daisa Greida, which would mean pure Daisa, where there aren't other ingredients mixed in, everyone will agree that you will make a Borei Minei Mizonos. It's basically made of crushed wheat. Ki Pligi B'Daisa Ke'ein Chovetz Kedera. The machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Kahana is regarding daisa that's like Chovetz Kedera. Now, the ingredients in the Chovetz Kedera we noted before, and we dashed underlined them in the Rashi. It was something combined with honey and with oil. So if it's not kemach, it's crushed grains that are prepared with honey and oil. And that's what they are arguing about. Rabbi Yehuda said shakol, sovar. Why does he hold shakol? Duv sheikur, because the honey is the ikur in that concoction. Rav Kana Omar borei min mezonos, sovar smida ikur. The flour is the ikur. The grain base is the ikur, is the mainstay of the foodstuff, and therefore a borei min mezonos will be in order. Omer of Yosef Kavosi Rav Kahana Mistabra. Rav Kahana's opinion is more likely that you would make a borei minei mezonos. The Rav Shmuel Amit Shervayu, they have a teaching that says Kol Shiyesh Malchamishus Aminim Vorchel Borei Minei Mezonos. Any food substance, any dish that has in it a representation of the five types of grains, and that certainly is the case in the Chovetz Kedera we just described, you will make a borei minei mezonos. Let's, like Rav Kahana ruled. At this point in the Gemara, we start a sukya that lasts till Lamed Zayin Omid Beis, a very long sukya, so it's something that does not lend itself to be broken in the middle. So in the context of Daf Yomi, we'll just read the opening lines of the sukya, but bearing in mind, we have to go over this in Mirtz Hashem next time. Gufa, Rav Shmuel Amit Shervayu, Kol Shiyesh Bochishus Aminim, Evorchen Olaborei Minei Mezonos. This is what we just saw a moment before, and it's one of two rulings that we're noting. That's why you see a number one here, that any dish that has in it of the five grains, even though there are other ingredients mixed in, but it's got from the five types of grains in this dish, you make a borei minei mezonos. Vitmarnami, another statement of Rav Shmuel Amit Shervayu, Kol Shehu Mechameshes Aminim Mevorchen Olav Borei Minei Mezonos. Kol Shehu, meaning anything that is of the five grains, you make a borei minei mezonos. What the Gemara will be preoccupied with is, what do I need both of these halachas for? And that's why we have here a long point marking, nun, that's encircled immediately right inside the Gemara text. This vertical dashed line will continue down a number of lines to explain the Tzrichusa. Why do I need both of these teachings? So Mirtz Hashem, in our next shiur, we will pick up with this point. So we can say, therefore, that this concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.